So we were talking about the conversion of Saul on the road to Damascus. And we're looking at, as we're working our way through Acts 9, we're in verses 20 through 22. And Saul, and actually we're kind of covering kind of this whole thing a little bit again. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. This is after he was on the road to Damascus. He went into the house of Judas in Damascus, and he's also having some fellowship with the disciples who were in Damascus. And this is after he was saved, and after he received his sight and baptized. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying he is the Son of God. All those hearing him continued to be amazed. You can imagine that, after seeing what he was and what he's now proclaiming. Is this not he in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on his name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests? But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving this Jesus was the Christ. So there are a lot of things going on here. As we were talking about last week, we're taking a look at, well, when was he actually saved? And we kind of came to the conclusion we can't really know for sure. But there are many who think that it was Jesus Christ who personally gave him the gospel, the grace of God, and that he immediately understood what was going on and was saved at that point. Others think it was Ananias who was the instrument who God used to save Saul from, Ananias would only be familiar with the gospel of the kingdom. So that's why many people would say that he was saved with Jesus Christ, witnessing to him with the gospel of the grace of God and having him come to the understanding. It's actually interesting, if you take a look at Cornelius's salvation and Paul's salvation, that there's some parallels that can be made there. Both were devout men of God. Actually, Cornelius was probably more of a truer believer, as far as Saul. Saul was a Pharisee who was kind of putting on airs of being pious and being devout, but they were both seen as being devout men of God. Both heard directly from Jesus Christ. Cornelius had a vision from God saying that you're going to meet Paul. Paul, meet Peter. Peter had a vision saying you're going to go and see Cornelius. Of course, Saul also saw directly from Jesus Christ. Some mistakenly call that a Christophany. It wasn't a Christophany. It was an appearance of Jesus Christ. So if you hear that, Christophany is an appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ. Now that Jesus Christ had come to this earth, when he appears, this is Jesus Christ who appears as this person. And that's what Paul saw. Paul saw Jesus Christ come to him. Cornelius finally heard the gospel of the kingdom when Peter showed up and Peter presented the gospel of the kingdom. That's all Peter knew. Peter knew the gospel of the kingdom. It was presented to Cornelius, and Cornelius believed at that point. We'll get into more detail as we get to chapter 10. Cornelius was then baptized in the Holy Spirit at that point too. Now, Saul also was told by God in a vision to go, I'm going to show you what you're going to need to do. That's when he was told to go into the city. It was at that point that Ananias came to Paul, and Paul then was baptized by Ananias after he received his sight. Now, if we take a look and compare these two, it would seem that God used men to lead them to Christ. That obviously we know Peter led Cornelius to Christ, and it was at God's prompting to do so. If we have a parallel kind of idea here, then Saul was also told to go into the city, and then it was Ananias who God came to and said, go meet him, and at that point then he would have been saved. That would have been kind of the same situation as Cornelius that Saul experienced. And it was at that point that he was baptized, and when Cornelius said that Saul, well, in Acts 22, I'm just going to go there, let's get it exact, Acts 22:16, And Ananias said, well, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. It's as if this is the first time he's calling on his name. And at that point, it seems, and these events seem to indicate that Saul was saved under Ananias, Ananias' testimony. Following his salvation, if you take a look at what Paul was preaching, there's no indication that Saul went out and preached the gospel of grace. But instead, until after he went down to Arabia, as Galatians 1:17 talks about. But what did he preach? Let's go back to Acts 9:20. And he preached, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying he is the Son of God. Now, what is the gospel of the kingdom? You're preaching that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what was preached at the... Now, why wouldn't he preach a gospel of grace at that point if he knew anything different? So it seems that what he was preaching shortly after he was saved lines up closer with what Ananias would have told him at that point. In other words, he wasn't told the gospel of grace at that point in time. Now, in fact, let's look at 26. Acts 26. Acts 26:19. And it says, so King Agrippa... Oh, that's not it. Not sure exactly what... Okay, I'm going to skip that for now. His message was more in line with the gospel of the kingdom than the gospel of grace at that point in time. Of course, it's not... he wasn't taught everything. He was going to be taught a lot more by the Lord as he went down to Arabia and back and forth, that he's still... the Lord promised that he's going to be getting more and more information than he had. Now, the details obviously are sketchy a little bit. I don't discount that he was saved on the road to Damascus by Jesus Christ personally. It just seems that would Saul have believed that quickly? I mean, if you think about it, he was going against Christ. He was going to kill Christians. Christ shows up and witnesses to him, and he says, oh, I believe that. It seems that there would have been a time where Saul would have had to reflect on what was being said to him before he was saved. The timing of it, to me, doesn't seem right. Now, I'm going against what a lot of mid-Acts people would have preached.
Acts 26:15 and 16.
Perhaps. Let's see. And he says, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom are you persecuting? But get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen. So he's witnessing what he has seen. And those things which I will appear to you. And so that's the things that he's going to go beyond. Rescuing you from the Jewish people, from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan, and so on. That's his commission that the Lord promised to Saul. And it also gives an indication that he's going to appear to him in the future. But he's also witnessing what the Lord has done, what he experienced on the road to Damascus. And so when he goes into the synagogues and preaches, as we see in Acts 9, what is he witnessing? He's witnessing Jesus is the Christ.
You're missing the verse.
Oh, did I miss the verse? Okay, let's go back.
Acts 26:20.
All right. Oh, oops. All right, that's probably the one I want. So, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring both to those of Damascus first, and also at Jerusalem, and then throughout the region of Judea, that even to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. Well, that kind of sounds similar to what we would understand as the kingdom gospel. Thank you. Thank you for straightening me out, even though I was trying my hardest not to let you straighten me out. And so we have the message that Paul was preaching doesn't seem like the grace message until after Christ had taught him. many in the mid-Acts camp would say that it was Jesus Christ who came to him and personally witnessed to him, telling him the gospel of grace, and having him then go on from there. And they use the idea, if we go back a little bit, in chapter 9, that when God came to him, and let's see if I can find it, I kind of jumped outside of where I was going to be preaching here. And so he says in verse 5, and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting." They make an issue out of him saying, "Who are you, Lord?" saying that at that point he knew who it was. And then there's also another time when he, which in verse, I think in chapter 22, where he says, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And so that's the obedience after he was saved. That's how they come up with Jesus being saved on the road to Damascus. And so it's, either way, there's a lot of sketchy details here. And that's not the point, like I said last week. The point of this is showing that there's a change. The point isn't showing the plan of salvation. The point isn't showing how he got saved or when he got saved, but that he was saved and that it's different than what was going on before. That he has God has a plan for him in this point in time. It's showing that Israel now has been put aside, and it's showing that there's now a change in the winds. And this is what we're seeing here. And what Paul is trying to set across here, or what Luke is trying to set across in chapter 9, is that there's a change in God's plans. So it's not so much about how he was saved or when he was saved. I was just looking at some of the details, and it's kind of interesting to have some conjecture about it. Of course, I'm trying to go against what a lot of people preach, but so be it. Oh, sure, go ahead.
He said he was saved under the gospel of God, which is in Romans in the beginning, that Jesus Christ, by being raised, it was the power of hope, proving that he was the Son of God. And in 1 Corinthians 9, he goes into saying that, "For though I be free from all men, yet I made myself a servant to all." See, we get so caught up in following through Acts and not understanding. We're reading that all and getting our doctrine from that, thinking that's what he did the whole time, and not understanding. There are books that we have to follow to understand he's going back and forth. He loved his brethren in the flesh. Those were those in the synagogue who had blasphemed the Holy Spirit. They did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. So he has to go to them first to tell them, "Hey, Jesus is the Christ." So he's not going against the gospel of grace, because in Galatians it said when God seen it to separate him from his mother's womb, he's not talking about his mama who gave birth to him, he's talking about Israel, to reveal my son and his grace in me first. So it's all there. We just have to go back. That's why you have to rightly divide. You have to pull scripture, read, study to see. He was never preaching the gospel of the kingdom, but he was a servant to all. To the Jew, I became a Jew for one purpose, to win them to Christ, so he could tell them.
That's right, and I've never stated that he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, but he's preaching. He's preaching his experience on the road, and so at that experience, he found out what? Jesus is the Christ, and he's God. And that's exactly what he found out. And that's exactly what he testified as he went back right into, it says immediately he went into the synagogues. And so his training consisted of a few short moments on the road to Damascus and some words probably from Ananias. That's all he knew until he went and was brought into Arabia. And we'll cover that a little more next week as far as his travels. He went down to Arabia, but and there's 3 years' time that he was going probably between Arabia and perhaps into Damascus area, and so he was kind of going back and forth. But he was in training at that point, and we have sketchy information because God hasn't revealed everything about this age of grace. But it's showing that there's a big change in the wind here. Things are changing. And so that's really what's important. Not that he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, but he's preaching what he knew, which is, and that's exactly what they had to hear.
That's it. He's just telling, Jesus is the Christ. I was wrong.
Yes. However, I'm making an issue of people who think that Jesus Christ revealed the gospel, the grace of God, the being saved by grace on the road to Damascus, of what we know in 1 Corinthians 15. I don't think that was revealed to him at that point in time. Yeah, and it's, and if you disagree, it's fine. I don't care.
I
could be wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you can be wrong. That's right.
Did he get baptized after that?
He was baptized.
I mean, if he had the grace gospel, he would have probably gotten the
way. But 1 Corinthians 9 does tell us all that he did know. I mean, but first he had to proclaim that Jesus was the Christ.
Yes.
We have to get that. So the Jews, they're not going to believe the gospel of grace until we first get that Jesus is the Christ.
That's what the Jews needed to hear. And you notice he goes right into the synagogue.
Yes.
Because he's still...
The Jews first.
Yes.
Brethren in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And they still need to hear that today.
And, yes.
And that today, that's still the issue.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, his preaching, like I said, just seems to be more in line with the gospel of the kingdom. Not, I'm not saying he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, but he's preaching what he knew. And I'm trying to, and I just don't see that it was Christ who came to him and preached the gospel of the grace of God as to how to get saved. But at that, and that's why I'm thinking Ananias was the one who told him, just like, and that's when the scales came off his eyes. It seemed that at that point, that's a visual as far as, oh, Paul's sight was, now I see what's going on. And yeah, and so it just fits to me, in my mind, that Saul was saved under Ananias's, just like Cornelius was saved under Peter. Peter was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Ananias would have preached the gospel of the kingdom. Well, then, what happens? Why did he get into the body of Christ? Because God put him there. They came to God by faith. They believed what God said. They're saved. Can God put him into the kingdom or put him into the body? That's his choice. He can do anything he wants. And I believe that at that point that God put Paul into the body as our first, as a pattern for anyone else that follows him. Now, there are a lot of ideas about what was kind of going on here. If the above ideas, what I was talking about, was correct, then Saul would have been saved under the kingdom gospel, but still put into the body of Christ as our pattern. And again, Paul, or God, has the... He can do that. Why can't he do that? There's no reason he has to put Paul into that kingdom box. He's putting him into the body of Christ box. Whatever he heard, if it was Jesus Christ telling him the gospel of the grace, or if it was he heard the gospel of the kingdom, he came to God by faith. He came to understand it. He was saved. We know that. There's no doubt about that. Can God put him into the body of Christ? Sure. There doesn't seem to be any evidence, but there are many who hang on to that and say that that's what happened. I just have there's a lot of issues with that, but the details are somewhat sketchy, and so I'm not. It doesn't matter. So I'm making a big deal out of something that doesn't matter, aren't I? So let's move on. Yes. Just like at home. It really doesn't matter.
If Paul wasn't in the body of Christ and he's telling these people we are going to be raptured, isn't that going to screw up Israel? Then who's here for the tribulation? Yeah, he was, but isn't that the... Weren't they discussing whether he was in the kingdom or the body of Christ? Which we didn't discuss that, okay?
No.
I checked
which gospel.
Oh, but not where he was.
Right.
All right, forget it. Never mind.
The gospel message will get you saved, but where God puts you is up to him.
Okay.
Now, he's made it clear that Paul was the first one in the body of Christ. So somewhere along the line, he got saved. And he was the first one into the body of Christ. And that means everybody will follow him in salvation, are going to be put into the body of Christ, at least until the rapture. Now, that's, I think, what we need to know. Sure. Sure, no, it's, and we'll get to that. But the quick answer is Cornelius would be in the body of Christ because he was saved afterwards, even though he heard the gospel of the kingdom. I don't have any problem at all with that. Because things are, the next 35 years are confusing because there's for one thing, God hadn't revealed everything to Saul or Paul. And Paul was still going to get more information, which God promised him. That's why it took a number of years before all of Scripture, the 13 books that Paul was writing, would be brought in. The second thing is just the dissemination of information. Oh, I like that. Sounds like a book title or something. The dissemination of information, it would take a while for people to understand that there's a new message. And so there's going to be people who, Paul got the message from God. Paul is going to start preaching it. But what about people that are several hundred miles away that haven't heard this yet? They're going to be preaching something else. They could be believers, or they could be preaching the gospel of the kingdom yet, because Saul hadn't gotten to them. And so it takes a while for this information to get out for everyone to believe. That's why there's a 35-year diminishing of Israel. That what?
Apollos was teaching John the Baptist.
Absolutely. And so there's a new... Have you heard about the baptism of John? You can look at Acts 19. You'll see that there's a group of people that come in. And so there's, information that is being shared with... and people are learning something brand new. That's what the... when they met in Jerusalem. Paul was sharing with them new information. They didn't give him anything. He was giving them what they needed to know.
Did you say then that in that first 35 years, God put people into the program that he wanted them in, but currently that's not true? If we're going to get there, we're in the body.
All I'm saying is that anyone following Paul in salvation are put into the body of Christ. Whether they heard... In fact, that's one of the things that people say, that there were two gospels being preached. And I would completely agree with that. There were two gospels being preached. God had revealed the gospel of the grace of God to Saul, Paul. I'll call him Paul now. And the gospel of the kingdom was still being preached until what Paul had learned, and we're talking about years later, he went to the church that was in Jerusalem and started defending what he's preaching. But in the meantime, they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's all they knew. So there takes a time period for these two to find out that, oh, the gospel of the kingdom, we're not preaching that anymore. Now it's the gospel of the grace of God. Peter addresses that because he's saying those promises given to Israel, what happened to them? People are saying, they're mocking, saying, oh, what happened to these things that are promised? Well, Peter says that they will happen, but in God's timing, don't worry about it. It'll happen. Things have changed. There's things that are going on here with the diminishing of the gospel of the kingdom and the raising up of the gospel of the grace of God. But anyone saved, I believe, would be going into the one container, the body of Christ. That's all I'm saying, is it didn't matter what they heard.
Christ, it's people today that decide whether or not they want to believe this total grace.
It's got nothing to do with today.
Okay.
It's got everything to do with the changeover for 35 years back when after Paul was saved. Now, and I also believe that those who were saved with a kingdom gospel eventually came to understand the grace gospel. So in other words, it's the same idea when there were believers in Israel when Jesus Christ came to this earth, right? What did they believe? That Jesus was the Christ?
Mm-hmm.
No. No. Those who were believers before Jesus Christ was born believed what God said. They just believed God. The God of Israel. David, you know, King David, he believed God and he was a believer. Others who were believers were, who was the prophet who went deaf?
There was Anna and there was, what's his other name?
The guy who wrote out his name, said his name's going to be?
John,
Zachariah. Bingo, that's it. Bonus points. So, all right, so he was a believer, right? But he didn't believe in Jesus Christ as Messiah at that point. You know, he got to that point. However, there's a verse that indicates that all those who believed will eventually would not be lost in the transaction. In other words, they would all come to understand that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I think I've got that verse here somewhere. It's in John. Yeah, John, let's go to John 6. So in this case, there were believers. All believers who had believed at that point, when Jesus was born, if they didn't believe he was the Christ, boy, that'd be a real mess, wouldn't it? They would have lost their salvation, basically. But God is promising that all those people are going to be saved, that they will come to an understanding that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that they have to believe in him. Verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." What does that mean? That means Jesus Christ was the light. God would draw them to him, and that, in fact, there's a verse that talks about all those in my hand. People use it, misuse it. Is it that early?
Whoever puts in my hand,
I will not lose any of those. And that's what that's talking about, is that transition going from believing God to believing Jesus Christ.
And even John the Baptist, when he was in prison, and he knew, so he was preparing the way for the Lord, but what does he do? He sends his disciples to find out, is he the one?
Are you the real guy? Right.
What does Jesus say? Tell them that the blind see, the deaf. What? It was the Word. The Word, everything that was written.
Absolutely.
Get his head cut off and go to heaven.
That's right. He was doing the miracles, and the miracles lined up. And the miracles lined up with the Old Testament Messiah. And so if they connected the miracles with this man and connected that with the Old Testament, they would then believe. And that's how John the Baptist came to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. So yes, and so we're seeing this information, how people have to accept something brand new. So I believe that those who were saved in the kingdom will also had come to were saved under the kingdom gospel, who were put into the body of Christ, would eventually then be brought to an understanding of the gospel of grace of God. And it's based on that, although it doesn't specifically say that that would happen.
I have a vision of Christ in heaven right now, or back then, and he's got this green and county hat on, and he's got this blender sheet, and he's got a pencil with an eraser on there, and he's looking at the pencil like a cup of hand, and he's coming from over here.
Shuffling everything around. You don't think he's got a computer now that and spreadsheets? You're old-fashioned, Dave. Well, and there's some truth to that, because he keeps his books, right? Even...
And all that will be under the umbrella of the gospel of God?
That's the gospel of God, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That really helps.
The gospel that God is sanctioning at that point in time. The good news of God happened to be the kingdom back then. The good...
The household of God, which we're all in the household of God.
We're all part of that.
Yeah, we're in the same house.
Yeah. There are many things that we have common with those of the kingdom. You know, Jesus Christ, he's the common foundation, but there's two houses kind of built on that one foundation. And so we have to understand the differences now. But I believe those that were saved in under the gospel of the kingdom, when after Paul, they would have come to a realization that God would have opened their eyes to the new things that are going on.
And that's pretty much the one we did. I mean, when I got saved, and just said, trust Jesus, and then, but he didn't say, but say this conditionally, you know, that was progressive.
Right, when we're saved, we have a lot to learn, and it's a very... And it's, yeah, and so, you know, some people have had more time to understand it, but we come to God by faith, we're saved. All right, we've understood the gospel, we're saved, and we've accepted it. Then we move on in our salvation, and that's, you know, like we were reading, studying Romans, that's the growth that we have in understanding, well, what did God do for us, and our security that we have. I wasn't secure in my salvation. Until I started understanding my position. And so that's why it's so critical. I couldn't mature in my spiritual walk until I felt secure into who I was. And then I could move on. And so those are the things that we grow into, but I was saved. I know I was saved back when I was 5 years old.
I think you also don't really appreciate it until you understand this in your position. I'm just in awe of it.
Yeah.
I never worked for several years, before.
Well, part of it is you've just heard it. You grew up with it. My parents were saved, and I guess now it's... And I understood I needed to be saved, too. So, but then, yeah, there's so much more that is part of that.
So would you say all believers that were saved under the kingdom gospel, after Stephen's stoning, later became rolled into the heavenly gospel, Paul's gospel?
After Saul was... Paul was saved... Everyone following him went into the body of Christ.
So after that, so between when Israel had the offer off the table and Saul was saved, that gap period, what was salvation?
Okay, if you might recall that there was a great persecution, that many people ran out of Jerusalem and went all over the place. They were certainly talking about the gospel of the kingdom. And there were many people saved at that point, and they would have been, I believe, saved into the kingdom at that point. But once Paul was saved, there may be no difference in the message until that message got out farther and wider. But they were now, all of a sudden, instead of the kingdom, they're put into the body of Christ. And that's because Paul is the pattern for those following him, 1 Timothy 1.
And the body of Christ is all of us were sinners because of Adam, not because we broke the law. The Jews had broken the law. Paul didn't see the law as a pointing to Christ. He saw the law as religious, self-righteous. So he's under the Jew that is the Jew of the flesh. Israel, not the true Israel. So that's why he represents the body.
Yeah. So 1 Timothy 1:16 says, "For this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first," Paul talking about in me first, "Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering." Why would he say me first? Didn't others suffer for Christ? Well, he's talking about this whole new program, the whole new body of Christ that's been formed. "In me first, Christ Jesus might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to eternal life."
And the key is sinners. Paul didn't think he was a sinner when he was under the law. He thought he was self-righteous. That's the key. Sinners. That's where Jesus came to him and said, "Sinners, I came to save sinners." They didn't get it.
He was fine, yeah. And all these others were sinners because they were moving away from Judaism.
Yeah. But the true Jew was a Jew that believed the Word of God and knew it.
Now, a couple of things before we leave here, and trying to understand what's going on in Acts 9. Some people think that Paul was saved into the kingdom program first and then saved into the grace program. These are the Acts 28 people who think that, he heard the gospel of the kingdom, therefore he was saved into the kingdom. They look at the Jewishness of Acts and Paul's earlier books, and what do they say? Well, he had to be talking to Israel because it's so Jewish. It just sounds so Jewish. They don't understand, first of all, that God was incrementally giving him information. Paul didn't have everything given to him all at once. It was given to him over time. And that's why we see growth, or we see a greater understanding from his earlier books to his later books. And we can see that Paul had obviously been given additional information. It doesn't mean that there's a whole new gospel. Some people would put a third gospel. We have the gospel of the kingdom, and then we have the gospel that Paul would preach from during Acts, and then we have the gospel of the grace of God. Well, it's just... and they would end up putting another gospel in there. They also say that was Paul was extending an offer to Israel for a kingdom. But I would challenge you to show me where Paul had ever offered the kingdom to anybody. He never did. Peter did. Why didn't Paul, if he was continuing the message? That's because he wasn't continuing the message. It's a whole new message. There's no offer of the kingdom. All of a sudden, after Peter, there's no offer of the kingdom at all. And that's because things are changing at that point in time. Now, the problem, I think some people will take Acts and then try to interpret Paul's books. And that's what many in the Acts 28 group do. They try to take that and look at the events that happened in Acts and then say, well, this then splits Paul's books in half based on Acts and based on what we are reading in here. That's a dangerous thing to do, because we can't get our doctrine from Acts. We have to take Paul's books and then interpret Acts from that. We take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and interpret the early part of Acts with that. But we don't take Acts and then try to interpret these books from it. And that's an extremely dangerous thing to do. It's going to mess you up. And so we have to be very careful in that. We have to also quit here.